Chad and Ballsy Daily with material from Chad and Ballsy's live show on 104.9 The Wolf.
If you were on social media yesterday, you could not ignore it. Rage Against the Machine have announced their tour dates. It was kind of known that they would play a few dates here and there. We knew they were headlining Coachella, Boston Calling, all that stuff. But they announced yesterday they are actually going on a 40-city world tour, which not a lot of people expected. And they will be playing nearby, not here, but they will be playing Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver in the beginning of May.
Which one are you going to? Because you're smiling like a butcher's dog right now.
So I actually have a plan. I'm going to, because tickets are going to be really hard to get for this.
Really?
Oh, every show will sell out in seconds. Like, they will be gone in, minutes. Tickets will be sold out. So I'm going to start in Winnipeg.
And move your way west.
Because every ticket, they all go on sale at 11 o'clock local.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to try Winnipeg. If that doesn't work, then I will go to Calgary, Edmonton, and then I will go to Vancouver. Mm. I will try all three of them. Four of them. But the thing is, and you said it right there. Really? Like, they'll sell out? Here's why it's a big deal. That's what I was, yesterday a lot of people were asking me, why is Rage Against the Machine reuniting such a big deal? First off, Rage Against the Machine is more than just a band. They're like this ideology, okay? And they're like, when I was in high school, Rage Against the Machine was the band that only you liked. Everybody else around you, nobody around you knew who Rage Against the Machine was. Or that's what you thought.
I was going to say, the case, why is it sold out?
And then you find out later on that everybody loved Rage Against the Machine. But for the longest time, they were just your band. And I don't know why Rage Against the Machine is like that. They're the only band I know that's like that, where everybody goes, hey, wait, I'm a Rage Against the Machine fan too. And people were kind of closet Rage Against the Machine fans a little bit. And I don't know why that is. But anyway, now that group, that Rage Against the Machine fan group, is in the age where they're
buying concert tickets.
Right, and they have a little bit of extra scratch kicking around. So that's why this is going to be a really quick-selling tour, the whole thing. And they're also bringing, like, Run the Jewels with them, which is a great
hip-hop. Do you kind of hope you don't get the Winnipeg tickets?
Yeah, I'm not going to try very hard for those ones. I'm not lying, and mainly because I don't like the MTS Center. I don't like going there for shows.
Oh, really?
It's so vanilla and boring there. Edmonton, I wouldn't mind because I like Rogers.
Yeah.
I've never been to a show there. Saddledome's kind of a dump. And they're also playing P&E.
You're not allowed in Edmonton because you're not an Oilers fan, so you can't really go in there.
I'm not going to see the Oilers. But Rage Against the Machine reuniting is a big deal for rock and roll. So just, will you let middle-agers like myself throw on our white sneakers and have a little bit of fun?
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Yesterday, everybody was balancing their brooms. I don't know if you saw that. There's photos of you could take a broom and you could stand it up on its end and it'll stand up on its own.
Oh.
Mainly because of just the angle of the earth right now. So it just worked out perfectly that you could do it. It's actually kind of interesting to see on social media, but they call it the broom challenge. Here's what I'm getting from all of the pictures.
A lot of unemployed people?
No, here's a broom challenge. Why don't you try sweeping your floor?
Yeah.
It's so funny how many people are posting pictures of their broom standing up and their floors are just disaster.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Oh, Cameo. It's this website you can go to and you can get celebrities to send birthday wishes to your family member or any sort of message you want.
$300, whatever,
right.
Different
rates. Well, Vince Neil of Motley Crue is on there as well.
And shocked.
Well, but the thing is, Cameo is not just for wash-ups. There are a lot of people on it. But Vince Neil charges $400 a message.
He's one of the actually more expensive guys.
And here's what's so crazy. This family paid $400 to get Vince Neil to say happy birthday to one of their family members. And this is the message they got back from Vince.
Hey, Decker, this is Vince Neil. I want to say happy birthday, brother. This is actually from Christian mom Ethan and Blake. So keep on rocking, Shout the Devil, and do some feel good stuff in big old 4-0, you man. All right, see you later.
So he's had a couple.
What did he say at the end there? Big old 4-U, man.
And do some feel good stuff in big old 4-0, you man. All right. See you later.
Good to see that.
Big old 4-0, you man.
Good to see that old Vince is training hard for the upcoming tour.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Well, Major League Baseball is considering expanding the playoffs to nearly half of the 30 teams, which I don't mind. They want to go from 10 to 14 teams. I like that because it gives people more, like fans, more of you know, their team's going to make the playoffs,
and
right?
They're also suggesting that pennant winners get a bye, right? So you get the first week bye, here's how
it works.
First series bye.
Only the division winner with the best regular season record would advance directly to the division series under the plan. The other two division winners and wild card teams would start in a best of three round. Mm. The division winner with the second best record would choose its opponent from among the three lowest seeded wild card teams. And they would do it on a televised show. Like, are you kidding me? How about we do this? How about we get the NL and the AL to use the same rules, i.e. take the DH from the AL and put it in the National League because we want to make the game entertaining. So let's not have pitchers come up and not be able to hit, okay? Like, let's do that. But we're going to have – who in their right mind is going to say, you know, okay, so, do we want to play the Reds? Do we want to play the Padres? Or do we want to play the Brewers? You know, I think we're going to take Milwaukee. Yeah, we're going to play Milwaukee. As if the Brewers aren't going to be, like, jazzed up to play that team.
We're the underdog. All right, we'll come in and kick your ass.
Yeah, you tried to embarrass us on TV.
Poke the bear.
How stupid is that?
Baseball is struggling right now.
Yeah, they're trying to stay relevant. Yeah.
I mean, I can't really blame them. I mean, they're getting the pressure from even fans like myself are kind of saying, hey, you got to do something to shake this up. I mean, what they need to work on in baseball, and they are working on it, but not fast enough. They need to speed the game up.
Speed the game up and make the rules the same. That's what they need to do. Don't have me a wrestling type of show where I'm picking the Brewers. Yeah.
Worry more about how many times a pitcher is allowed to come in.
Yeah. Didn't they tweak that?
Yeah, they have, but not enough. I mean, it's just
they should have a pitch clock. You get 15 seconds to make a pitch. That's it. 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'm not against that.
Otherwise, the team gets a ball.
And you should also have a box clock where the batter has a certain amount of time to get in the box.
Otherwise, it's a strike. That's what it has to be. That's what you do. Why are they tweaking that? But here's the thing. We're such traditionalists in baseball. We can't change the game. But now we're going to have a televised.
Well, they got to find a way. They have to find a way to get every game done within 3 hours.
100%. 100%.
But I don't think they're going to. Like, there were games last year that went 4.5 hours. Who has the time? Honestly, what normal person with a 9-to-5er, kids, has time to go to a 4.5 hour game? Or take your kids to that game and have them maintain their attention.
On a Monday night, I went to a game in Arizona, my first ever game, Arizona-Miami Marlins. I know, big one. There's 5,000 people there.
Right.
We got up and left with three. It was over 3 hours. We got up and left. I think it was like in the seventh inning.
And that's Arizona and Miami in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Where nobody goes to their games because their games start early and nobody can get to the
venue
park
time.
In time.
Yeah.
Like, baseball, you got some work to do.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
I don't love gory movies, but I can generally handle them. I'm usually okay. It's disturbing movies that have a different tone for me. And by that, I mean things that are real and real life that have actually happened. Like, documentaries, deep, dark documentaries can really bother me for quite some time. I am going to have a problem getting over watching Don't F With Cats yesterday. Mm. I'm not sure if you know the premise of this. It's a documentary on Netflix. So first off, don't let the kids anywhere near this. And if you are faint of heart, if you're an animal lover and can't take that, then I would suggest you don't watch it. But it's about Luca Magnotta, the Canadian killer who, you know, mailed, you know, things in the, like, it was just, it's messed up. Yeah. It was one of those shows that I watched it and I felt like I immediately needed to take a shower after watching it. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Like, right after, and you almost feel like you shouldn't have supported the project. when you watch it and you go, oh, yeah. I'm now a view on that, so they can now say, I've seen it.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's kind of like, that's one of those ones where you get into it and you can't shut it off.
Yeah, it's like it's a few episodes long, so I'm not totally done yet. I mean, if you know the story, you know how it ends. Although there are a lot of things that I did not know leading up to the murders. And those are the things that are very deeply disturbing about this. So I'm asking you, what movie have you seen that left you so disturbed that you were almost a changed person after watching it? When I was a kid, one for me was always The Exorcist. And The Exorcist, again, not overly gory, anything like that. Just, especially as a kid being raised Catholic, that had a totally hold on me.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs, that one kind of freaked me. I didn't feel too good after that one for a while.
It made me afraid of the dark for a while.
Yeah.
You know, Silence of the Lambs, yeah. A lot of suggestions on our Facebook page, too. I don't really want to go. Like, I mean, the obvious one is Human Centipede. That one is just, it's messed up. Like,
Did you see it? I haven't seen it. I didn't want to try to see it.
Parts. I had to see it because of the curiosity. Everybody was talking about
it. The one that messed me up was the one I thought you were going to take the worst. I was joking with you as we went to see It.
Right. That one was.
I know, but I couldn't go in the basement for two days. I didn't want to go in the basement. I didn't find
the original, the TV show, bugs me. Yeah. Like that one.
Yeah.
I can't look at what's his face, the guy who played. I can't remember his name. I know everybody's screaming it right now at the radio, but the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can't look at him the same way ever again. He's even in Home Alone 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't look at him the same. Like, I'm just like, oh. That's Pennywise. Every time I see him, you know, it freaks me out. Mm-hmm. Don't F with cats. Don't watch it.
I'm going to watch it now.
Well, I mean, watch it if you have a curiosity.
It's not like you don't eat snacks when you watch it?
Funny you should say that, because as I was watching yesterday, I'm like, I shouldn't be eating while I'm watching.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, Tim Curry is the guy that I can't handle ever since It. So every time he comes up on a movie, I go, nope, not going to watch this one. So I'm talking about Don't F with Cats. This is the documentary on Netflix right now that a lot of people are talking about. It's the story of Luca Magnotta, the crazy Canadian killer. And it's deeply disturbing. I wouldn't call it gory, really, but it's just...
Dominique Cotson sends a text in at 936. Wolf, unbelievable, and When They See Us, both on Netflix, both based on true events. Neither are really graphic or scary, but it's the best thing I watched last year. They'll both take you through every emotion you can imagine.
You know, I think sometimes it's not about goriness. That's what I'm saying here. Yeah. Like, The Mist is another one that really bugged me.
The Mist, okay, yeah.
Because of the ending. If you've never seen it, I know you've never seen it, but the ending is just very, very... dark and the another thing is, you can all of these movies are accessible now, you know, because of Netflix. They're all right there,
mm-hmm.
and you actually cycle through them. I remember when I was a kid, you had to go out of your way if you were,
yeah,
because you would hear of these deeply disturbing movies, and then you'd have to go down to the movie store and physically pay and rent it.
Yeah,
so it was a bigger deal. Now they're just like they're just a click away, and that scares you, too, because they're just a click away for your kids, too, right?
So yeah.
You got to keep that in mind.
Jeff Moffat sends in a text, Chad 936, Wolf, House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses, yeah.
Yeah, by Rob Zombie.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen it, and it's disturbing. It's just weird. Like, it's, I don't know. And then it was so weird because The Devil's Rejects wasn't near as bad, but... Yeah, Rob Zombie's got a messed up mind, and that's not shocking at all. I've seen some worse ones, though. There are a lot of different movies that I like. The Stephen King movies never bugged me. I always thought they were kind of
okay.
They kind of although you know which one did? Pet Sematary bugged me. That was always maybe it was because I saw it at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Pet Sematary, there were a couple of scenes in that still stick in my head to this day.
Fawn Flamin says the movie that messed her up was Strangers with Liv Tyler. It's based on true events, and I literally was living isolated with a toddler and newborn at the time. My husband was away working. I love scary movies, but this scared the heck out of me.
And sometimes that's what makes movies disturbing is your life situation. Like, if you have kids, there are movies that involve kids where you're going to be, where you're a little bit more sensitive.
When it's
right after you have a kid, you're a little bit more sensitive
when
to that
stuff.
When
it's a scary movie or a gory movie or something like you just watched, do you eat more because you're panicked? Like
No,
I'm not. I'm just saying I tend to shovel popcorn in more
or
do more like, I do.
No, I'm the person that goes, why am I eating while I watch this? But like, don't F with cats if you're an animal, if you're a pet owner or something like that, and you're an animal lover. I mean,
will it make you wish for the death penalty?
It gets you invested.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Got this email from Natalie. This is a good one. You know what absolutely drives me crazy, Chad and Ballsy? When people just show up at your house unannounced. Drives me absolutely bonkers, especially in today's day and age when communication's so simple. Just text me a few minutes before. Why is that so hard? Now, I bring this up because my mom informed me that she and my dad were planning on driving to Regina from Calgary to surprise me for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love my family to the moon and back, and I'm lucky to have them, obviously, but it's a bit odd to just pop in on people without warning, especially for an overnight stay. My mom was so hurt when I told her never to do that to me. Give me a couple hours warning.
Yeah.
I'm all for that too. I'd rather talk to people than text them, but I need to know you're coming. Don't just knock on my door.
Yeah.
I've wanted to come over, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. I've wanted to come over to your house just to check, just to kind of, because I like young little kids, like, you know, Cash and whatever, just pop in, but you barely take my phone.
I'd kill
you. Yeah.
I would kill you if you came by, especially if it's to see the kids, because they have routines and schedules, right?
Yeah.
And if you interfere, that's one thing we will not tolerate, or at least I will not tolerate, is interfering with my child's nap schedule.
Yeah.
If you get in the way of that, I will fight.
Like the other day when we went out to Southie, I had the Wolf truck and I was going to pick you up at your house. And you're like, let's just meet at Sobeys. And it actually turned out well because I had to pick up pills.
That had nothing to do with
house. But part of me was disappointed because I was like, you know what? I wanted to, not disappointing you, but that was part of my plan. I was going to swing by and see your kid.
That was nap time too.
Yeah.
That would have been nap time.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. That was just for convenience sake.
Yeah, I'm not for people. I'm with Natalie. Don't drop by.
Like, if you pop by, I don't even mind if you pop by, but you have to be okay with what you get when you get there. And by that, I mean, you may not have clean sheets to sleep on. Right?
Well, I don't think you should.
You may not have.
Yeah.
The house may not be in order.
Yeah,
and
do a Lego fire walk.
You're
over
gonna
toys.
Be. You might be eating grilled cheese for supper.
Yeah, I mean, the groceries. I'm low on groceries,
or I just didn't buy expecting people to come over.
Well, I think it's the difference between me dropping over to visit for 15 minutes, and somebody just popping in to stay. Like, I need a day's notice.
I don't
coming.
Mind so much if you pop in to visit for a couple seconds, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
In the winter, because then you got to be in my house. In the summer, we can hang out in the backyard for a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
But if if you're coming for an overnight stay, you should at least give me like an hour or two to know you're coming.
Mm.
Other than that,
I need a day for that.
A day? A full day?
I'd like a day.
I don't need a full day. I just need to know you're at least coming so I can, you know,
pick up your gitch.
Mainly it comes down to this. I need to know you're coming so I don't poop in my house right before you get there.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
Hugh Vass was joining us. Hi, Hugh. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks a lot.
Awesome, thanks for coming in all the way from Saskatoon. How was the drive?
Saskatoon. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Somebody said it was nice roads, and it was, but it was cold.
it's cooling down. So we're talking Junos.
Junos.
Man, we are just days away from this.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going March actually goes March 12th to the 15th, and we got a full week of activities going on up in Saskatoon, but the most important thing is we want everybody down here and all over the province to know this is a Saskatchewan event.
Yeah.
This isn't just for us guys up in Saskatoon. This is for anybody who loves music and anybody who loves Canadian music.
And anybody loves to party.
It's the Grey Cup week of Canadian music is really what it is.
Yeah, absolutely, Ballsy. You're right on.
That's what it comes down to. So,
how are we kicking things off?
Well, you know what? First of all, I just want to say that we got a whole bunch of things going on. We got the kickoff concert with the Sheepdogs.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have the Sheepdogs involved in this thing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Then we got a hockey game going on. There's going to be a hockey game breakout in this thing.
It's always fun watching the Juno Cup because these guys... first off, they're the stars. They're the people that you idolize, the musicians you listen to, and then they give them a hockey stick and a helmet and say, go and have at it. Absolutely. And these guys are goofballs.
But it's Canadian. Canadiana right
That's
there,
the
right?
That's the way. Got to be a hockey game breakout somewhere. Yeah, Juno Cup, and you know, we got Jim Cuddy. Mm-hmm. He heads that one up. He does it for every year. I think he started this thing, actually.
Yeah.
And we got them playing a bunch of ex-NHLers, and we got something called Juno Fest. This is really, really cool. Goes on 2 days, on the 13th and the 14th of March, and you buy a wristband. I think it's $30, and you know what? There's about 12 different bars and restaurants and entertainment places, let's call it that, that have over 50 bands playing all for the two nights.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a great party if you just want to go around to visit everywhere in Saskatoon. We're spreading it out. We're all through the whole city. So
that's pretty neat.
You want to do that. And then one of my favorite events is the Songwriter's Circle.
Right.
And this is where the songwriters perform, and they tell you how the inspiration behind how they wrote a song.
Right.
And then they play it. So it really is, it gets you into their head about, you know, how did they figure this whole thing out, writing the music. So
yeah. Right.
And then, of course, we got the big, the Junos Awards on the
50th. Oh, really? There's a show.
It's still a party, but it is a show. And Alicia Cara is is hosting that this year. And, you know, we got some of our performers, Daniel Caesar, Jan Arden is there. She's getting inducted.
Yeah.
And Lennon Stella, the Glorious Sons, Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
Going to be outstanding. And, you know, this is an awards thing. So there are some Saskatchewan nominees. Do you guys know that?
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
I knew a couple, yeah.
Yeah. So we got five that got nominated. Actually, six awards. But Fox Warren from Regina.
Oh, good.
Foxworthy,
is up for an award. Kerry Shaw. The Hunter Brothers.
Right,
That's going to be great.
Yeah,
so, brothers.
Speaking of hockey guys, there's a hockey guy in there.
And they're playing, I think they got a whole line, right?
Of course.
Okay,
they're there. And Terry Fedeluk did some design work on an album, and the Dead South. So
Winners of our Queen City Rocks.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's going to be fantastic. There's a little bit of entertainment from all over Saskatchewan. Come on out and cheer the Saskatchewan nominees. Yeah. It's going to be a great party.
So the Thursday to the Sunday, March 12th, right through the 15th.
And how do people get more information here?
You know what? They can go to visit JunoAwards.ca for events.
Mm-hmm.
And for the main, for information on all those events and how to get tickets. And then for the actual awards night, they can go right to Ticketmaster.ca.
Right on. And there's always the thing I love about the Junos, too, is there are always some surprises that come along the way. So
yeah, absolutely. You never know who could show up.
Chad and Ballsy Daily.
You had a great conversation with Coach Dickinson yesterday, and I thought you asked him a really good question.
Was young Craig Dickinson good in the kitchen? What'd you live off of?
Oh, God, I was terrible. No, I would make macaroni and cheese. Scrambled eggs was a staple. It was bad. I didn't have a great diet back then. It probably pretty obvious when you look at my body. You're like, that guy didn't eat well.
Hey, Coach, if I came over to your house right now, what could you whip up for me? What's your specialty?
You know what? It wouldn't look much different, Mike. I mean, it'd pretty much be, I love eggs, so anything that has to do with breakfast, I can cook bacon now. I've gotten that figured out. And, I still like my pastas with some occasional meat thrown in there. So
awesome.
Pretty simple chef.
It's always mind-blowing to me how these athletes and people in the athletic world eat like garbage. Some of them are just like human trash cans. They just eat. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact they're on the road a lot. So they're
busy, yeah.
And they just kind of eat on the go.
Yeah. I have to say I like him even more now because he's me. the other day I'm at my house and I didn't have any bread left. Like, there's no bread.
Right.
The bread I had was stale. So I saw some waffles. It was late at night. I saw some, like, those Lego waffles.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What I did is I took the Lego waffles out of the container. Whatever. Lego. And I toasted them. Lightly toasted them.
Yeah.
And then put bacon, lettuce, tomato inside. I had a waffle.
Waffle sandwich.
Waffle sandwich.
Well, you go to restaurants and you see them.
I've never seen one in a restaurant. Yeah. I was reading about
waffle burgers.
Oh, I was good.
Sure.
It was good. Like makeshifts. It was awesome.
Sometimes
lightly toasted.
It's all about the MacGyver of food. Like sometimes you just have to figure something out. Like for me, I'm I don't know if I call this a makeshift meal, but it still seems a little off, but I will put hot dogs in macaroni all the time.
That's good.
Like that's a good one, right? And I think that's probably how wieners and beans came to be. At some point, somebody was like, hey, let's throw hot dogs in a can of beans.
I know people do this now at restaurants. I've seen this done, pierogi pizza, but I did pierogi nachos once. So I had leftover pierogies,
sure.
Threw them on the sheet,
yeah.
Threw some cheese and put a little bit of stuff on there, yeah. Mixed some stuff on there, and I had a pierogi nachos.
I know I've talked about this one before. But when I was first starting out in radio, funds are a little tight.
not like now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But they were real tight.
Yeah.
So you used to have to get creative, and you knew what you could. Pasta was always cheap.
Right.
You could buy like the big bags of no-name pasta. That was dirt cheap.
Yeah.
So was soup, like canned soup.
Yeah.
So you
still
would get
is.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd get a can of mushroom soup. And don't mix it with anything, just the actual can of mushroom soup. And you would make your pasta, and then you would put the mushroom soup, a can of mushroom soup, in the pasta.
Cold?
And No. You'd warm it up a bit.
Okay.
And then you'd mix it all around, and then it was like a fancy mushroom pasta. Oh, man. Or...
Let's go to Chad for Tuesday mushroom pasta.
You would just eat Itchy Ban.
Yeah.
But you would eat Itchy Ban so much that you would change it up where you'd eat it raw one night, like just almost like a snack, like potato chips. And then you'd cook it up the next night because you were feeling rather fancy.
I'll tell you one thing. We were so broke as a joke in college. We were driving home once and we ran out of chips, me and my buddy. Good moment from Calgary. He reaches under the seat.
I don't want to
know. He reaches under the seat, pulls out a box of milk bones. We had milk bones.
You ate dog food?
Yeah, we had milk bones.
Oh, my.
Thanks for tuning in to Chad and Ballsy Daily. New episodes every weekday on your favorite podcast app and full audio available at thewolfrocks.com. Don't miss Wolf Mornings with Chad and Ballsy. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Regina's Rock Station. 104.9 The Wolf.